bless you. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. Amen. Thought you weren't going to be here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, Father, for this day to come and together in your house, dear God, around the revealed word of the hour in your name, Lord, and to be with expectation waiting to hear from you, dear God, and you to speak to us, Lord. We ask, God, that you would just anoint us this morning, dear God, to where we'd be able to be a help to the people, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 14. And begin reading at verse 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. You may be seated. I'd like to preach on this morning is the invitation. The invitation. Man... Man's always making excuses why not to receive the invitation that's given. Even though it's firmly proven that it is the Lord's Supper, that it is God bidding, they still make excuses why they cannot come, why they can't go to church, why they can't give their life to the Lord. They make excuses. And God gives an invitation. Then it's up to the man whether he's going to receive or reject the invitation. And once you, if a person rejects the invitation, then they're rejecting mercy. Because that's what the invitation of the Lord is about today, to be to come and to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's an invitation. Like we gave an invitation last Sunday. Anybody else want to be baptized? Somebody took the invitation. Amen. But to reject the invitation is to reject mercy. The invitation of the Lord. To reject his invitation, you spurn it, then there's nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. If you step over the boundaries of mercy, then, and we find that men's done it in every age. There's been invitation given out through all the church ages. And down through all the church ages, there's been those that received the invitation that was given out by the messenger of their day. But there were those that rejected the invitation. Once they reject the invitation, then there's nothing left for them but judgment. They make excuses. They made excuses in Noah's day why they couldn't believe Noah. Why water's never fell from the sky before. That doesn't go along with our scientific knowledge that we have. They made an excuse why. You know, when people make excuses, when they're doing it, what they're trying to do is justify themselves. They're trying to justify themselves in this is why I'm rejecting it. They justify themselves on why they can't come here to church. There's people living in this town claim to believe the message, but they won't come to church here. Why? They've got some kind of excuse why they won't come here. Something, some kind of justification. Like there's something wrong with this church. There's something wrong with the people. They're rejecting God's invitation. There's an invitation that goes out every service around here. You say, well, they're not hearing it. They know where the invitation's at. They know where it's been given out. You can ask any one of them, do you know where the church is in Dixon? And they can tell you. They might not know the postal address, but they know where it's at. And if they don't, they know somebody who does. There is no excuse. So what's left? What's going to be left for them when the rapture takes place? They're going to be coming here trying to get in this place. Find out where you are, where this group went. This group's going to be gone. And then there ain't going to be nothing left for them but judgment because they've rejected the invitation of the Lord to come give their life. And why? Because they got something else they want to do. They got something else in their life. They want to wear their pants. They want to cut their hair. They want to wear their immoral clothing. They want to go to their immoral places. They want to drink and smoke and do drugs. They want to go around and say, I believe Joseph is a prophet. That ain't going to save them. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to be guilty. Of enabling them to go on that way. I wouldn't want to be guilty of it being given me the opportunity to tell them, you know what? You're wrong. You need to get over there and get in and get saved. That's right. Amen. Just saying you believe something don't mean nothing. I could say, I believe this is a $100 bill laying up here. But if I don't ever pick it up, I ain't got it. I could say, this is real cold water. But if I don't drink it, I ain't got it. You know what they're doing? All they're doing is sympathizing with it. They sympathize with the message. And they've listened to some kind of junk that if somebody loves me, I'm going to be there. Or if I just say I believe Brother Branham's a prophet, I'm going to be there. That's a lie out of hell. They go back to the quote where Brother Branham said, the angel said to him, all that ever loved you and you ever loved is going to be there. He was talking about a horse and a dog. Come on now, you know that's what was being referenced in that quote. But yet people take and twist that around and mold it into some kind of image that I don't got to live the life and I can still get there. You either get in and be part of the bride and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or you ain't going. And there's no excuse for not receiving the Holy Ghost because it's a gift. You don't got to do anything. It says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. He gives it to you. It ain't like, well, I got to go a whole month without sinning, and then maybe I can get the Holy Ghost. You ain't ever going to get it then. Because, friends, we all fail from time to time. There ain't a one of us perfect. And that's the thing that many people point at. They try to point at your imperfections as their reason why they can't come to the Bible Believers Tabernacle in Dixon. One of these days they're going to be out there high on pot and the Lord's going to come and they ain't going to know nothing about it. And then they ain't going to be able to find mommy and daddy. They ain't going to be able to find brother and sister. They ain't going to be able to find uncle and aunt. They're not going to be able to find a lot of people. Then all of a sudden they're going to realize, buddy, I missed it. I have believed a lie. And I've been damned by it. A reprobate mind. They got other things to do. It just amazes me. Sometimes it's, you know what it is? They pick and choose what they want to believe. Well, I believe Brother Branham taught against giving back, taking vaccinations. That's a lie. It's a lie. I can show it to you. He talked about the polio vaccinations and different things. He talked about how bad it was before the vaccinations came along and how it helped the people. But let's just suppose that he did say it and he was against it. And that they were right on that. How come they don't listen to the part where he says, go have a home church where you support with your tithes and offerings and presents? Why can't they believe that? Why don't they listen to that and come to church? Because they're rejecting the invitation. Look at the religious systems today. Look at the condition that the religious systems are in. You can drive in here on a Sunday morning and watch people flocking into the churches, dressed in all kinds of ways, indecent. But it's all right. Obviously, their church teaches it's all right. Brother Branham talked about, and I've heard Brother Jim tell me a story about a Baptist church let out 15 minutes early from Sunday school class so that they'd go out and have a smoke before they came back in to finish church. Why? Why? Why is the religious systems in the shape they're in today? Because they rejected the message of the hour. They had their opportunities. Their forefathers had their opportunities. Many who sat in the meetings had their opportunity to receive the message of this last day. And they rejected it. And their excuses were, well, he's just using mental telepathy. Well, he's a prophet as long as he's praying for the sick, but don't listen to his doctrine. Why? Because serpent seed didn't agree with their way of thinking. Because, you know, they believed speaking in tongues was the initial evidence of having the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to make fun of people. But listen, I asked the question before, somebody who believed that way, and I said, well, what about so-and-so? Look at them. They're right back on out in the world. Said, ain't the Holy Ghost supposed to be a keeper? I said, they never had it. Said, well, it'll keep you as long as you keep it. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, what about where the Bible says you're sealed until the day of redemption? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. I said, what about that? If the Holy Ghost can't keep you, then there ain't no hope for any of us. I sat in a living room with people that's supposed to believe this message and them talk about their pastor losing the Holy Ghost. Because he got riled up at one of them. I can show you where Moses got riled up. Said, must I fetch water from this rock for you? You bunch of rebels. That's what it says in the Bible. I can show you where God got angry at the people of Israel and said, Moses, step aside. I'm wiping every one of them off the face of the earth, and I'll raise you up a new people. And Moses talked him out of it. It stood in the breach. Hallelujah. Said, I believe our pastor's lost the Holy Ghost because he got upset. I said, brothers, you can't lose the Holy Ghost. They said, well, what about what Brother Branham said that the Holy Ghost is like a dove and it'll take its flight? I said, he talks about the Holy Ghost lifting its presence from you because you grieved it. But even though you might have grieved it, you're still sealed by it to the day of redemption. Yes, hallelujah. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption, putting off from you all malice and envy. Right? Bitterness. It's talking about real things that real Christians have to deal with on a daily basis. Why? Because we're in this so rotten, stinking flesh. We're living in a condemned body. You don't believe it? Look at some old pictures of yourself and look in the mirror today. You're living in a condemned body. It gets old. Young ones, talk to some of the old ones. They'll tell you how it is different getting up in the morning. Whew. Boy, I tell you what. child asked me, he said, when you was a kid, what was one of your favorite things to do? I said, play football. I love playing football. It would kill me today. But back then I could do it and get hit and get up and go on. Well, I was young. But this old condemned body I'm living in can't do that stuff no more. I can throw a baseball, I can catch a baseball, I can hit a baseball, but buddy, don't ask me to run the bases. I don't know if I could make it all the way around. I guess I'd have to be like Babe Ruth, hit that thing so far I could walk it. Could you call a life like what I've been described with all these excuses and rejecting the invitation? Could you call that a life that was worthy of the gospel? What is it? Why has the church gotten the condition in? Because they were bidden to come and they refused it. They rejected the message of God. They rejected the message of our. And you know, listen to this. Remember what Jesus said. Those that rejected it, he said, none of them are going to get to ever taste of my supper. Those that were bidden will never taste of my supper. Why? Because they rejected it. When the Holy Ghost knocks on a man's heart and he deliberately turns it down. When he deliberately turns it down. One of these times you turn it, they'll turn it down for the last time. Then you won't have the privilege anymore. Sat in church and they listen to the gospel and they agree with the gospel. They sit in church, they listen to the message of the hour, and they agree with the message of the hour. They come every once in a while. They'll come on Christmas. They'll come on Easter. They'll come on weddings and funerals. But they won't ever lift a hand to try to help the church. Try to support the church. I guess they must believe that Dixon Power, Dixon Lights, electricity, that they just give it to churches for free. No, if you got it, you're paying for it. I don't care who you are. Look, friends, the governor of the state of Tennessee, somebody's got to pay the power bill or he won't have no lights. And he's the governor. If that power bill ain't paid, he's going to go over and flip that switch and ain't nothing going to happen. He'll go over and turn the knob on the faucet and nothing will come out. Don't matter who you are. And in the government, they make sure they get their money through taxes. You go to buy new tags for your car and you read down through there and there's this tax and that tax and this tax and that tax and this tax and that tax. By the time they get done, you're paying near $100 for your tags for a year. They get theirs. But people think churches live on air. They come and they'll say they believe the message is right. But they won't never move on in. They won't never just totally surrender their life, let go, and get filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of it's been the examples they've seen laid down before. Influence. But there still won't be no excuse. Well, that's the way my daddy done. That's the way my mama done. Well, you go on and do like mama and daddy, and you'll be lost like them too. They're going to spurn mercy for the last time, and then they won't have the privilege to be able to any longer be able to accept the invitation. Now, according to the scripture, after they went out and compelled the lame and the crippled and all them to come, and then there was still room, then they went out into the hedges and byways and compelled them to come. And he said that my house might be filled. So if one of them would have, now it said, it gives an example of three different individuals giving excuses. But it starts out by saying he bade many. And they all began to give excuses at once. Now, one of those that gave excuses later on decided, well, I think maybe I got time now. They wouldn't have got in. Do you realize there is coming a time that, friends, the last one's going to come in? Now, I know you. Sometimes people get it in their mind, the last one comes in, gets saved, gets baptized, and boom, immediately the rapture happens. They got to get some revelation too. So you realize there's coming a time that you're going to be preaching to the souls that are now in prison. You'll be preaching. And all that could got saved is saved. And they can come then, and it won't do them any good. What, I often wonder this, what more could they find that could be so great to them that they would turn down eternal life? You know, if I had pills up here and could prove scientifically that if you took one of these pills, you'd live 1,000 years, you wouldn't be able to knock people out of here. You wouldn't be able to get your way up here. You wouldn't have to make an altar call. And yet, God has proven time and time again. He's proven it. Do you think that on that day of judgment, that they're going to be able to say, well, I lived in Dixon, but I never saw no example of anybody living a real Christian life? Baloney. They saw your lives been changed by the word. Yes, they see that you're different. going to have no excuse. But the Bible tells us that even on the day of the white throne judgment, that there are going to be some of them so brazen that they're going to come up before the very God of creation and offer an excuse. What is it out there that they want so bad and that they got to have so bad that they can't come surrender their life to the Lord? Well, I'm young. I've got plenty of time. Go by the graveyards. You'll see many, if not more, young people in the ground than old people. Seems like every year, some senior out of Dixon High School loses their life out here on the roads. Many times because of drinking. I don't know how many times out there in front of the Walgreens I've saw them take and put up one of them wrecked cars out there that's all twisted up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All twisted up where some teenager wrapped themselves around something with their car and they were dead. Teenager. Here, just a few years ago, some man lived here in Dixon. Had his senior, graduated from high school, went out boating out here and was being pulled around on tubes or something and went under, hit his head, and they couldn't find him. A senior just getting ready to actually start his life. And gone in an instant. What is it out there that the people want so bad that they can't come and give their heart to the Lord? I'll tell you, there ain't none of it out there is worth anything. Now, the Bible didn't say it wasn't, the sin wasn't pleasurable. It said it was pleasurable. It says for a season. It's pleasurable for a season. And then where you left when it's over. There are times, Brother Phil, I wake up and I feel like, my goodness, I went to bed 20 and I woke up, I'm almost 60. What in the world happened? I think about how old I was when I came here. I was 35 years old. Brother Jim was 55 when I came here. Now he's 80. What is it? Time just goes by so quick. They think, well, I'm young. Well, I'm going to tell you what, friends. The weeks fly by. And the months fly by. And the years fly by. And one of these times, the last invitation is going to fly by. I'm going to tell you something. If you wanted to take a flight from here to Atlanta, and you said, I'm going to go down to the Nashville airport, and I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Atlanta, Georgia. They ain't going to let you on that plane without a ticket. You say, but I want to go. They say, show us your ID. Show us your ticket. Do you realize the tickets for the flight out of here in the rapture are free? You don't have to hunt through the bargains online to find cheapesttickets.com. They're free. It's all paid for. And people are still rejecting them. If I put out and said, first 50 people that come to me gets a free ticket to Hawaii. Buddy, I'd get knocked down. People be knocking one another out of the way to get there. But you say, I got a free ticket to go to heaven, and they don't want nothing to do with it. Well, I'd have to give this up and give that up. I remember one time, you know what somebody told me one time? Well, I can't live like Sister Becky Langley. That's what somebody told me one time. That was their excuse. I said, God don't want you to live like Becky Langley. I said, without the Holy Ghost, Becky Langley can't even live like Becky Langley. God wants you to live like a Christian. Don't try to pattern off somebody else. Pattern off of Jesus Christ. Friends, listen, if Sister Becky Langley was sitting here this morning, she'd be saying amen. Then, well, I don't think they'll accept my girlfriend. I don't think they'll accept my boyfriend. Excuse. What was their excuse? What's their excuse for marrying outside of their faith to begin with? You know what it is? They're rejecting their day of visitation. This is the day of visitation. And they're rejecting it. When they reject their day of visitation, Brother Branham said, that separates them from God. You know, in the Bible, it speaks, many of y'all know about this, it speaks about the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee would come every 50 years. And anybody who was a slave because he owed something or whatever, when he heard there was a trumpet that would be sounded on the year of Jubilee. And when they heard the sound of that trumpet, they had the privilege to go free. But according to the law, if they refused to go, then they were taken to the temple and there was a hole bored in their ear to represent that they refused the invitation to be free. And once that hole was bored in their ear, it didn't matter how many more times that trumpet sounded, it meant nothing to them. They were not able to go free. Why? Because they had been marked.
Oh my goodness.
They received a mark showing they rejected it. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man could buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Friends, listen. The mark of the beast isn't the barcode on a can of beans. The mark of the beast isn't the COVID vaccination. They're not putting a chip in you. The mark of the beast is not going to be an actual physical number stamped on your hand or your forehead. It's receiving their doctrine. It is receiving their hand of fellowship. In the hand, receive the fellowship. In the forehead, receive the doctrine. We're all one. Friends, the Catholic Church has went against many of the things that they used to stand for. This new Pope, you know, he's such a gracious guy. Why, we ought to be more inclusive of everyone. That's what he says. More inclusive. They got priests molesting young boys, and they move them around to hide them. And it's, let's all just join together. Among the denominations are starting to, you know, I know Brother Brown talked about fellowship. But he didn't talk about, he's also talked about them joining the World Council of Churches. Joining the ideal. Well, we're all one. Aren't we all children of Abraham? That's what Balaam tried to sell Israel. Why? We're all children of Abraham. Let's just all be one. God never did forgive them of that. If the natural applies to the spiritual, to reject, listen, friends, there is the seal of God and there's the mark of the beast. And to reject the seal of God is to accept the mark of the beast. When they hear the gospel, when they hear this message, when they hear it preached, when they know it's here available for them, and they refuse, they receive the mark of the beast. to come to this truth and then walk away from this truth. To reject it, like so many have done of recent. Turn their backs on this message. They receive the mark of the beast. Friends, I got relatives in danger. I got a son in danger. Some people say, well, there's going to be a mark of the beast someday. Brother Branham said, it's already here. When the Holy Ghost began to be poured out, the mark of the beast began to. The seal of God. Brother Branham said, to reject the seal of God is to take the mark of the beast. For the Bible said, all that's not sealed by the seal of God took the mark of the beast. Someday they're going to realize what they've already done. The Lord's coming. Very soon. You can see by the signs of the time, the signs you see in this nation and around the world. You can see on God's timeline just where we are, how close we are. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, through the seven church ages, the first age didn't know there was going to be six more. It wasn't revealed to them at that time. It wasn't open. They preached the Lord is coming like he was going to come in their day. The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. Every age was preaching like the Lord was going to come in their day. And they believed it. But then God began to roll back the pages of his word and give a peek at things that are to come. The condition that the world would have to get into. That the cup of iniquity would have to be filled. That what it really meant when it said that it would be as it was in the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, Sodom was overcome with homosexuality. And that's the way it's got today. Gay rights, and homosexual rights, and lesbian rights. And there's a church. It was in the news this morning that they're having a putting on a program for their teenagers. And the program is people being dressed in drag. So that these teenagers can feel more welcome. If the girls feel like they're supposed to be boys and the boys feel like they're supposed to be girls. And the one man made a statement and said,
I'd bring my 3- and 4-year-olds to that program. It was in the news today. Look how filthy it's got. Because they've rejected the word of the hour. They've rejected the invitation. But you know what? God's coming in his transforming power. And we which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get new bodies. Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ are going to rise and they're going to come to us. But those that have rejected the invitation, they're going to be left out and left behind. And when great big balls of hail start falling out of the sky, some weighing 100 pounds apiece, they're going to wonder, what in the world is going on? Many of y'all remember, young ones, some of them might not, but well, the little bitty ones have been before their time. But many of y'all remember 9/11 and when the towers got took down. I got a phone call from somebody because they were trying to get a hold of my dad and they couldn't get through to him. And it scared them. So they called me. I didn't even know they had my number. And they called me and wanted to talk to me. Because they couldn't find dad, they thought, well, let's see if I can find Brother Jerry. One of these days, I'm not saying anything against that individual, they just got scared, but one of these days, the rapture's going to go, friends. And they're going to call mom and dad's house. What in the world's going on is what they're going to want to say. But there ain't going to be no answer. And they're going to get on there and they're going to text. And whatever else. And it'll be flying around social media, trying to find somebody that they know believed the truth. Somebody that they know accepted the invitation. Then how scared they're going to be. I've heard people tell me, well, I know the truth. So if I don't make the rapture, I'm just going to give my life and make it in the tribulation. I wouldn't count on it. Why would you want to settle? Why would you want to settle for something less when you can have it all? And it's all paid for. They come to church and it's like getting a phone call. You have been selected for an all paid for trip to Disneyland. 3 days, 4 nights. Your hotel's paid for. Your plane ticket's paid for. You have received an invitation to an all-expense-paid trip to glory. All you've got to do is accept it. Well, I figured, Brother Todd, this was going to be a part one. I got more notes up here, but I've run out of time. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this thought just kept burning on me and burning on me and burning on me. I didn't know what all direction, Lord, that you're going to take me when I sit down to study. But Lord, it just wouldn't leave me. Lord, the devil tried to come against me this week in my health, my blood pressure. Lord, there was times I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it this Sunday. I just wasn't feeling well. But God, I checked my blood pressure this morning, and Lord, it was right on good to go. It was the lowest it's been all week. Lord, I knew this message was burning on me, and I had to bring it. Lord, God, my heart goes out. God, I know there's people around this town that know about this message. They know about the prophet. Why don't they come? God, I don't long to see anybody lost. Many of them I know, and I love them, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, be merciful, like I know you are, Lord. Somehow, Lord, we want to reach them through the lives of the believers from this assembly. Lord, they know there's a difference. Lord, I pray for our church here. God, I pray for ones that were baptized this past Sunday. God, is sure as the world, as they were baptized, Satan was standing by to try to hit them. But Lord, you are stronger than the devil. And our faith makes us conquerors over the devil. Our faith in you. Not our faith in ourselves, God, but our faith in you. You are more than able to finish the work that you've started. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless the people here of this assembly this morning, dear God. Lord, go with them today, God. Lord, help them, dear God. As we walk in this dreadful, perverse age, keep them safe, dear God. Keep them safe on the roads. keep them safe out in the places of business and work. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God.